Wow. Thank you guys for leading us in song. Let's pray. All right, Lord, we pray that the next few moments we have together in your word are important, that they're meaningful. They speak into our lives something that matters. So make us alive. Help us to be coachable. Help us to realize that the words you spoke on a hill 2,000 years ago to a crowd, those exact thoughts, the meaning behind those words, are what you want us to hear in this day, in our world. So, fill this room with your spirit in the middle of this teaching. In your name we pray. Amen. Welcome again. I'm Pastor Bill. I can see some new faces, and just great to have you here. We're honored that you'd be with us, joining us in worship. And for those of you guys who are worshiping with us from home, we're in the middle of a series called I'm In. We talked about the first week that you're invited, that Christ Jesus loves you so much. You're invited into his loving arms. You are loved immeasurably. And then the second week, we talked about how you are, you're invaluable, that we all have our unique gifts and abilities, and we're all part of this something that's so much bigger than ourselves. We all have a part to play. And so this morning, we're focusing on the word influential. This is who you are in Christ. You are influential. I'm going to say this probably over and over again, but you never know how one conversation, one word of encouragement, one act of love can change somebody's life, can make a mark that you don't even know happens. You are influential. Jesus talks about this when he's on the hill, speaking to a totally different crowd, but I just am amazed at the fact that the words I'm about to read came from Jesus' mind. And even though he spoke in Greek and we're doing this in English, we're receiving something that generated from the mind of Christ. And so it's so important. Matthew 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. So you are influential. You'll never know when one word of encouragement and one act of love can change someone else's life. You're salt. Seems to me that the purpose of salt is to make us thirsty. You are influential in making someone else thirsty for the love of Christ. It seems like light is a part of direction. When I'm fumbling for my keys in a dark room, I'm lost, I can't find them. But light gives direction, it gives clarity, it gives meaning and purpose. You are light. You just never know when one word of encouragement and one act of love can completely change a person's life. You're salt and you're light. We think about being an influencer, and that word influencer has just taken on a whole new meaning in the last 10 years because we think of social media influencers. Here's where we make this huge mistake. We think that the scope and the effectiveness of our ability to influence is based on our platform. It's not based on platforms, it's based on people. When we look at ourselves and it's like, you know what, I'm just me. I mean, what kind of platform do I have? I mean, how much of an influence do I really make? And we look at problems in our world and it's like, well, I can't solve that. I can't really even make a dent in that. And so we minimize our influence because we think of our influence as directly related to the size of our platform. You might have 4,000 followers, but what Christ wants you to notice is the one person in your life who needs you. Let me just say that again. You might have 4,000 followers, but the one person that Christ wants you to recognize and influence is the person right in front of you. We're called to be salt and we're called to be light. And the first thing is that it's not platform, it's not authority, it's not skill, it's not knowledge, it's not expertise, it's not your image that creates the platform. It's the Spirit of Christ alive in you. And Christ is salt for you, and Christ is light for you, and you influence others the same way. There's one of my favorite stories in the Bible is this woman who is the least likely influencer of all influencers in the New Testament. And she's getting water in the middle of the heat of the day because she's a woman with a really bad reputation. She's been with 5 different husbands, and the guy she's now living with is not her husband. She doesn't know it yet, but she's actually really, really thirsty. Jesus shows up at this well. He gets her interested in living water. He points that to himself and says, "I am water. You come to me, you'll never be thirsty again." She asks questions. He responds to her needs. He tells her that she's got 5 husbands, and the guy she's with now is not her husband. She's blown away because he's now no longer just this traveling nobody. He's now a prophet. Jesus reveals to her heart that he's also the Messiah. She goes back to her village in John chapter 4:28 and says, "So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?' They went out of the town and were coming to him." Jesus talks with them. They then respond in verse 39, "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. So being an influencer doesn't matter about your platform. And the other thing we find about being an influencer is that you don't have to have your life figured out. You don't have to have some sparkly example of whatever it is you think you need to have figured out to influence others towards Christ. This woman comes with all of her baggage and she points to Christ. And that's the beauty of being an influencer. It's not that you have answers. It's not that you have a way of life that makes more sense than other people's way of life. But you have Christ and you have love and you know what it means to be forgiven and you know what it means to be cherished and you know when you're falling off to sleep at night and you're desperately worried about something and you go to your Savior in prayer, that God comforts you in Christ Jesus. You have salt and you have life. You never know when one conversation, when one word of encouragement, when one act of love can change a person's life. It's not the size of your platform, and you don't have to have your life perfectly managed in order to be an influence. And notice, in this case, in John 4, there's a pretty immediate response, and there's an obvious response. And that's not necessarily the case in most of our examples of life where we influence. We really don't know how and when and in what ways that we influence others. One of my key influencers, my pastor growing up, his picture is Rodney Otto. So I was very young. It was a very difficult time in my life. And I was having dinner with him and his wife and his 2 sons, who were a little bit older than me at the time. And I'm sitting around a kitchen table in his kitchen. And it was one of those things where I never really got close to my pastor. And that day, for me, it was like he was kind of larger-than-life figure. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he drinks milk. You know, my pastor drinks milk. It was one of those kind of moments. And in my mind, there was this thing. I want to be like that guy. That's all it was. I want to be like that guy. And that little moment of seeing him love his sons and laugh around that kitchen table and me saying, I want to be like that guy, I think that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit guided me into the ministry in the first place, that I wanted to be that guy. Another key influencer in my life was this man named Joel Hempel. It's in 1991. I was engaged before that. The engagement ended. I'm in St. Louis. All of my friends took jobs throughout the country. I am literally all alone in St. Louis without my fiance. I'm just really in a bad place. He's my boss. Now, this man is, at this time, he's 6'4". His arms are bigger than my thighs. He's just a ginormous man. We're working at a nursing home, And I'm thinking about working at a nursing home. And I'm watching Joel Hempel. He spends a ton of time with me. And I'm watching this massive man kneel next to people's beds, hold their hand as they die. And he's coaching me on how to care for others. He's coaching me how to be kind and loving. And he invites me into his home. I have dinner with him and his kids. And I'm watching him love on his wife. And he doesn't even realize it, that it's like, he's the first man who's really invested in me. And it just so happens that he is the kind of man who most, not threatened me, but I felt most insecure around. He was a complete man's man. And I felt like a little boy around him. But he had no idea of this, but he was growing me into the heart of a man. I never really had a person like that in my life who took that much interest in me and who was willing to ask me questions that no other man had ever asked and questions that I didn't want him to ask, but he kept pursuing me. So it was like, I don't know, that was in 1991. And so probably about 15 years ago, I wrote him a letter, a long letter, on how he influenced me and all the ways that I was so thankful. And he wrote me back, and he remembered who I was, but he had no clue that he had any kind of influence in me at all. And that's the way it works in influencing. We often don't see results. We often don't see any kind of outcomes. We don't know how and when, but you never know when a kind word, an encouraging moment, and an act of love can change someone's life. You never know. So that's my point this morning, is that we are called to be influenced. We've been influenced in the love of Christ. I know I asked Marky to, give a time when, because Mark and I pray walk, we work together, and I've heard his story when someone key in his life was an influencer.
Yeah, I was just going through a broken relationship. I was trying to figure out who I was as a person. There's a lot of things in the world I was chasing that were not edifying, that were not really helping me. I just had God place two guys in my life that really came alongside me. One was a friend from back home. One was a guy actually from Christian Challenge. But we'd get together, we'd have coffee, we'd talk about life, they'd ask questions. They really pointed me to God's word, and at that time, it created a deep, deep hunger and a deep, deep love for God's word. If any of you have been discipled by me lately, you see that, I think. I really push, like, man, you got to get into God's word. This is impactful. This changes your life. So seeing their influence on me really impacted my heart. So that now, like, I've wanted to disciple others. I've wanted to influence others by the impact that they had in my life. So I think just seeing that impact. I would tell another quick story, kind of unrelated, but we were picking up a dresser that our girls wanted to paint, just something we found free on Facebook. And I was talking to the guys, like, hey, you're Mark Meyer, right, from the Lutheran Chapel? And I was like, okay, I don't know who you are. He's like, you probably don't remember me, but you helped me move, my friend moved furniture like 15 years ago. And I was like, what? Like, so one simple act of service, he still remembered my name, he still remembered the ministry, and it wasn't even him I helped, it was his friend. So just seeing the impact that you can have, one simple act of kindness, one reaching out, I think is really powerful.
Thanks. One thing I find myself praying is help me rise to the occasion. Help me rise to the occasion. All right, Lord, help me rise to the occasion. I want to be available as I'm having coffee with somebody. I want to be available. I want to be a great listener. I want to be loving and supportive and sensitive to what the Holy Spirit needs to do, work through. That's a great prayer. Help me to be available. Help me to pay attention. But you never know when one act of kindness, one encouraging word, and one loving act can change a person's life. So when I think about this being an influencer, to me, it's a grand adventure. It's like, all right, Lord, your Spirit's in me. I don't know who or how my path is going to cross with other people's paths, But it's not just an ordinary day. It's not just an ordinary day. No day is very ordinary. At some point, Lord, help me to be that kind of influence in the lives of others. So I want to inspire you in those ways, but I also want you to act on it. So here at the chapel, when we have a message, we also have a challenge. We want you to respond and put it into practice. We don't want to just leave here with some helpful just head knowledge. So it's called our setting aside. We're going to do it differently today because it fits well with our theme. Our setting aside is an offering. What you're doing today is an offering of thanks. There are all different kinds of offerings in the Bible. And what I'd like you to do is we have a thank you cards on the table, and we have stamps. And I want you to take the next moment, and you may not be able to finish your note card in the 2 minutes that work for a Sunday experience, but I want you to take a stamp, and I want you to take a note card, and I want you to write a thank you to somebody who's been an encouragement and influence for you to follow after Christ, or somebody who's helped you in a difficult time in your life. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to turn this into an offering of thanks. So we'll do this with your masks on. Grab a card, grab a stamp. The pens are in your chairs. And we'll give it a couple minutes, and then the band will come up and finish this off this morning with a song called Salt and Light. It's really, really well fitting. And those of you who are at home, grab a pencil and go for it as well. But I think that there's something really powerful about actually writing a note and sending it in the mail. There's something really powerful about that. So go ahead. Let's do our setting aside. We're going to spend some time in prayer. I'm going to have Kenny come up. We're going to pray together. And then we'll have our confession and absolution and Holy Communion. You want to start us off? All right.
Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us with PB. He's a great influencer in my life, and I think he's a great influencer in a lot of our lives. Thank you for giving him your word to share with us so that we may go and spread your salt and light on the campus and everywhere we go.
Lord, we praise and thank your good and holy name that you have influenced us by the power of your Spirit to believe in you. You are our Savior. You forgive us of our sins. You rose from the grave. You conquered death, and we live for you. Lord, help us to live for you in the little ways. Help us to recognize the needs of others. Help us, Lord, to speak up and to be a force of good. Lord, we acknowledge that often we're more consumed with our platforms. We're more concerned with our own personal identity and our own sense of self-being and worth, that we just fail to look outside of ourselves to the needs of others. Lord, we also confess that we are easily influenced in ways that do not please you. We act in ways that seem normal to the world, even ways that the world applauds. And yet, Lord, we know that they do not honor you. Lord, in many ways, we're like the Apostle Paul, who says, the things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. The good things that I want to do, I just don't follow through. Lord, we are a tangled mess. And you chose to use a tangled mess in Matthew 5, the Samaritan woman. You chose to use a tangled mess to influence an entire village. Lord, we thank you that all of our lives, even though we are works in progress, we are still influential. Your Spirit can still move in great ways. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge our need for you. Build in us, Lord Jesus, a heart of repentance, Allow us to see all of the areas, Lord, in which we just simply need your forgiveness. We pray these things in your great name, the name that is above all names, and every knee will bow, as you have taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, Kenny. I like using a word of scripture for the clear word of forgiveness. And today it's in Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. You are forgiven in Christ Jesus. Because Christ went to the cross for you and gave his life and took on his body all of the things that we regret, all of our shame and all of our guilt, you're actually forgiven. You're cleaned up in the blood of Christ. You can't be any more loved than you already are currently loved in Christ. That's our identity. That's who we are. And that's what propels us to be a force of love in the lives of others. We don't offer something in the life of somebody else that we haven't first received. And so you, in Christ Jesus, are loved. You learn from your past. You can grieve your past. But you can't pay for your past. Christ has paid for your past on the cross. You are forgiven. At this point, we want to say thank you to our friends at home who are viewing us online. We are honored that you are among us. And I pray that if you didn't get a chance, you find a note card, find a stamp, and write a note to someone who has influenced you to follow after Jesus. And let that be an offering of praise and thanksgiving for you this week. Thank you for joining us. We're now going to finish up our time together in a moment of home.